Hey, who wants to live longer? Go to superhumanradio.com today and listen to Superhuman Radio live at 1 p.m. Pacific weekdays.
More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky, it's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Superhuman Radio.
Yes, it's
Superhuman Radio.
Strange visitor from another planet who came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men.
Superhuman Radio.
Who can change the course of mighty rivers, bend steel in his bare hands, and who, disguised as
Carl Lenore,
mild-mannered reporter for a great metropolitan newspaper, fights a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the American way.
See you later.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. You know, the thyroid is one of the largest endocrine glands in the body, and it's located right in the neck, below the Adam's apple. You can actually feel it if you feel around to the side of the Adam's apple. It's known as the ductless gland due to large volumes of blood that course through it every single second of your life. Thyroid hormone reaches and affects every single cell in your body profoundly. These hormones control virtually every aspect of metabolism, body temperature, cardiac function, blood flow, much more. Very, very sophisticated gland. Still being better understood every single day. Changes in thyroid function can cause a myriad of symptoms that are often misdiagnosed by well-meaning physicians. On today's episode of Superhuman Radio, we're going to discuss the thyroid's importance and functions, as well as steps that you can take to keep your thyroid functioning properly throughout your life. My guest today is world-renowned Dr. Alan Rubin. Dr. Rubin is the author of Thyroid for Dummies. It's an excellent book. He's internationally recognized authority on both diabetes and thyroid disease, and he's joining us today from his home in San Francisco, California. Welcome to the show, Dr. Rubin.
Thanks very much. Good to be here.
So, you know, a lot of people are familiar with thyroid issues. Some of us think we have it, we're not sure, and so on. So why don't you just explain real quickly the two different types of thyroid dysfunctions?
Well, actually, there are more than two.
Okay.
But in terms of the metabolism of the thyroid, in terms of the thyroid hormone, you can have too little thyroid hormone and you can have too much thyroid hormone. And The symptoms and the signs of those two conditions are kind of opposite one another. So that, for example, if you have too little thyroid hormone, that's called hypo, H-Y-P-O, thyroidism. And the signs that you have would be weakness, fatigue, sleepiness, constipation, feeling cold, sometimes drowsiness, leading to even coma, and if it goes on without any treatment, you could even die of low thyroid function. So it's kind of a condition where everything is depressed.
Okay.
Whereas the other side of the coin, hyperthyroidism, H-Y-P-E-R thyroidism, has many of the opposite signs and symptoms. Your heart is beating very fast. You're shaky. You're hyper alert. You can't sleep. You may have many bowel movements during the day and sometimes even diarrhea. Your skin temperature is warm. You don't like to be in warm places because you're so hot. So it's a condition of hyper instead of hypo. And those are really the two extremes of thyroid function. You know, then there are other things that you can have, like growths on the thyroid, cancer of the thyroid.
Right.
And so on and so forth. So.
Now, we actually did a show on melatonin, and one of the things we touched on with the scientist that I had on the show was the fact that low levels of melatonin lead to something called hyperplasia or cellular growth of the thyroid periodically. So is that what you're talking about when you talk about tumors or growth of the thyroid?
No, not really. Tumors of the thyroid arise spontaneously, and for the most part, And fortunately, most thyroid tumors are benign, not benign exactly, but are not severely malignant. If you catch it early, which is usually the case, you can take it out, and the patient won't die of thyroid cancer. They'll die of something else.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. All right. And then one other thing I want to touch on when we talk about the thyroid that's probably overlooked, and I'm sure that you're aware of this, is the parathyroid, which actually functions within the thyroid, correct?
Right. Well, that's the parathyroid. There are actually four tiny little parathyroid glands usually that sit behind the thyroid in the neck, and they actually don't have anything to do function-wise with one another. They just happen to be next to one another.
Right.
The parathyroids control calcium in the body.
Right.
And when there's too much parathyroid hormone, your blood calcium goes too high. When there's too little, your blood calcium goes too low. So they're there, and they're important because if you ever have to operate on the thyroid, you have to make sure that you don't injure those parathyroid glands. But otherwise, they're really separate
okay.
in their function.
Okay. Now, when we talk about hypo and hyperthyroidism, do you find that the patients that you see tend to have the ability to present both symptoms, aside from something like Graves' disease or Hashimoto's disease, which are clearly, you know, hypo, period, mm-hmm. but people who have maybe don't fall into those two categories, do you find that people present both hyper and hypothyroid symptoms?
Symptoms can be confusing, especially in elderly people. Elderly people, for example, with hyperthyroidism, too much thyroid, may look like they have too little thyroid. They may lose, well, they actually may gain weight sometimes. They may look very quiet. They may look fatigued. They may have signs and symptoms that aren't what you expect from hyperthyroidism. And that's the reason that it's so important to get thyroid blood tests every so often throughout life. It's recommended that starting at about the age of 35 or so, you get a very simple blood test for a thyroid, which is called the TSH, or the thyroid stimulating hormone. And that test will tell you very quickly whether there's a problem. So even though you have no symptoms, or even though you have symptoms of one or the other, getting a TSH can really help you to differentiate just what's going on.
Well, I think that's very important. I mean, I've said on this show a couple different times when we've done subject matter about the endocrine system that, you know, people should, in that age bracket of like 30, 35, go out and get a complete hormone panel done so that they have a blueprint of what their hormone levels look like when they were healthiest and feeling their best, so that when they do have something happen when they're 40 and 50 and they have these tests done again, they're not just depending on being in range, because they really want to be where their body functions the best.
Right.
And so I think that's very smart too, of what you're advising, that people should go out and get thyroid tests before they develop problems, so they have something to reference, a baseline to say, you know, this is when I felt the best.
Well, you know, even you know, not just because it's before they develop problems, but thyroid disease is generally not picked up routinely. I mean, it's missed so often, and the symptoms that you have of thyroid disease, for example, if you have low thyroid function, the symptoms are very, very similar to the symptoms that a woman would have when she goes into menopause.
Right.
So it can be confused completely with some other condition, and if you don't get that blood test, you'll never know that it actually is the thyroid gland that's to blame.
Now, is TSH adequate, or can you go for the whole thing, you know, TSH, free
well,
T4, T3, the whole thing?
The TSH as a screening test.
Okay.
If your TSH is perfectly normal, then it's highly unlikely that the other tests are going to be abnormal.
Assuming you have no symptoms.
Right.
Okay.
Right. But if that TSH is not normal, then you're going to want to go on and do the other tests. You want to particularly do what's called a free T4. That's a test of the amount of active thyroid hormone in your blood. And the combination of the TSH and the free T4 will generally give you the diagnosis of what's going on with either over or under activity of the thyroid. Sometimes you need to get a second thyroid hormone called the T3. And you can do that if necessary. If the clinical picture looks different from the results you get with the TSH and the free T4, you would get the T3 test. But otherwise, those two tests are generally all you need.
Now, the T3, does that include free T3 as well as reverse T3?
Yeah, well, actually, you can get two different tests or more. You can get a total T3, which would include both active and inactive T3,
right.
Or you could get a free T3, which is just the active T3.
And when you talk about inactive T3, are you talking about the what they refer to as reverse T3?
No, I'm really talking about T3 that is bound up with...
Okay, on a protein, in other words. It's bound to
albumin,
a protein.
Albumin,
right.
Thyroid-binding globulin.
Right.
Most of the thyroid in your blood is tied up with these thyroid-binding proteins.
Right.
And is not active to do anything. It's only the free thyroid that is free in your bloodstream that can go in and out of cells and can do its work.
It's biologically active.
It's
okay.
Biologically active,
okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And do you have an opinion about reverse T3 now? I mean, I know there's a lot of screening being done for reverse T3 because supposedly it has an affinity to the receptor, but it doesn't have, it's not active, so it actually can displace.
I don't use reverse T3 that much in my practice.
Okay.
So I really don't.
Okay. All right. And so once somebody goes and gets the test done, assuming that they are, you know, they have some symptoms and they find one of these issues is out of whack, so to speak, what's the next step generally?
Well, let's say they have low thyroid function. Then, very fortunately, long ago, scientists learned to synthesize the exact same hormone that your own thyroid gland makes. And so all you have to do is take that hormone in the form of a pill every day, and you're perfectly normal. So that would be for low thyroid function. For high thyroid function, for too much thyroid, there are pills that can block formation of thyroid hormone, and you can take those. And there are other forms of treatment also, but I generally prefer the anti-thyroid drug.
Right, less invasive, in other words.
Less destructive, because
right.
If you take the other two kinds of treatment are radioactive iodine, and surgery, and both of those generally leave you without a thyroid, whereas anti-thyroid drugs will lower your thyroid production, and in the end, you'll be okay. You'll still have your thyroid gland.
Yeah, just attenuated. Yeah, that makes perfect sense, and it seems to be, like you said, less damaging, and to me, it's a little less radical as well.
Certainly.
Of an approach. Mm-hmm. And T4, is it adequate just to replace T4 for someone who is hypo, or do you condone the T4, T3.
Generally, it is.
Oh, you know what? I'm so sorry, Dr. Rubin. We're going to take that question after the break.
Okay, go ahead.
Stay with us. We're talking to Dr. Alan Rubin today about thyroid function, how to keep your thyroid healthy. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back. A company committed to truth in advertising, to science-driven product development, a company that still believes in accountability to its customers. All American EFX is that company. With a full line of performance-enhancing aids like Crealkaline EFX Pro, muscle pump amplifiers like Nitrix EFX, growth and recovery enhancers like LBA Pro and LG5 Pro, and a fully tested core nutrition series. So if you want the very best in bodybuilding and performance supplements, go to any GNC or visit AAEFX.com today. That's AAEFX.com. All American EFX. We don't play games. We just help you win them. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. PJ Braun knows how to get in shape and stay in shape. He's appeared in numerous bodybuilding and fitness magazines, and now he's ready to help you. Whether you're a man or a woman, PJ Braun has the expertise to help you reach your goals faster and easier than ever before. Utilize his one-on-one distance training services and your friends will want to know what your secret is, but we'll never tell. Services are affordable and customizable to suit your individual needs. Nutrition, training, and supplementation are all covered. Stop spinning your wheels and start building the body that you've always dreamed of. Go to pjbraun.com today. That's pjbraun.com.
LG Science's pre-workout performance enhancer Anadrolic State GT has grown exponentially in popularity in recent months. In July, Anadrolic State GT was named 2010 number one pre-workout product by BestRecovery.com, as well as nominated as best pre-workout product by Bodybuilding.com. We here at LG Sciences want to give back to you, which is why, for a limited time, we will be giving customers a free 330-gram bottle of BC plus EAA hydrolyzed peptides with each purchase of Anadrolic State GT from Bodybuilding.com. That's right. Order Anadrolic State GT at Bodybuilding.com now and get your free BC plus EAA. Offer only available while supplies last.
All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking today with Dr. Alan Rubin about your thyroid. So, Dr. Rubin, before we were interrupted by the break, I had asked if it was adequate just to replace T4 for hypothyroidism, or is it the T4-T3 combination?
Yeah, there's been a lot of study on that because it is true that the normal human body has both T4 and T3, but the fact is that most of the T3 comes from conversion in the body from T4. So if you just give T4, generally that is adequate. I do find an occasional patient who, for one reason or another, seems to need a little bit more T3, and then I give the T3 as necessary. But usually T4 is adequate.
You know, I've read some abstracts, actually, just recently, that indicated the presence of the enzyme that converts T4 to T3, which I believe is I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, is diiodinase? Is that what it is?
That's fine.
Okay. Apparently it's not necessarily present in all target tissue the way it's supposed to, and there seems to be some evidence that increasing selenium intake can actually help that. Have you found any of that selenium intake?
It hasn't made a difference in my patients.
Okay.
This point. So,
okay. Obviously, these things are an abstract or two doesn't mean anything until it's really, you know, consistent throughout. But anyway, that's what I was curious. All right. So generally, T4 is adequate as far as replacing. Now, we talked about some of the symptoms earlier, but there are some of these symptoms that are becoming more important now. For instance, you know, the thyroid's effect on insulin resistance has been elucidated more clearly now, correct?
Yeah, definitely. You know, insulin resistance is very important. There's something called the metabolic syndrome, which actually affects as many as 60 million Americans and can lead to early heart attacks. It's almost a pre-diabetic state, but many people who have it never get diabetes. They usually have something wrong with their blood glucose, but not to the extent of diabetes. And certainly the thyroid hormone can affect metabolism. That's one of the major things it does. So it's going to have an effect on the metabolic syndrome or syndrome.
Now, more specifically, thyroid hormone actually increases cellular sensitivity to insulin so that glucose can get into the cell easier, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
That's true.
And then more recently, I read an article that indicated that now when people are diagnosed with sleep apnea, they're requesting that one of the frontline tests be a test for thyroid because there's been some linkage between sleep apnea and thyroid dysfunction.
There has definitely been linkage between sleep apnea and thyroid dysfunction. There's also a linkage, again, between sleep apnea and metabolic syndrome. So all of these things seem to be interconnected. And you have to think of them when that kind of condition is present. You want to check for diabetes. You want to check for thyroid dysfunction. Absolutely.
Now, how about cardiac function in the thyroid? More specifically, things like mitral valve prolapse and arrhythmias or irregular heartbeats?
Well, certainly if you have excessive thyroid hormone production, you're going to get a very rapid heart rate, and sometimes that is going to turn into what's called atrial fibrillation, where, you know, you have two major chambers, the atria and the ventricles in the heart, and the atria can just not function in a normal rhythmic way and just not push the blood into the ventricles in the way that it should, and then you have atrial fibrillation, and that results in possible heart failure in patients. So, sure, thyroid can definitely affect the rhythm of the heart, and as far as mitral prolapse, I've generally not seen a problem with mitral prolapse in any of my patients with thyroid dysfunction. So I'm not sure what you're referring to.
I had read a study a while back that had indicated that mitral valve prolapse, there may be some linkage between thyroid dysfunction and mitral valve
mm-hmm.
prolapse
yeah.
due to, but it was the linkage was unclear because it had something to do with glucose metabolism by the heart.
Yeah,
which was, again, to come full circle, we talked about it a moment ago, you know, insulin resistance or the inability for insulin to be utilized properly by the heart because of low thyroid hormone.
Right.
Because those subjects were given something called ribose, which is a monosaccharide, I believe.
Yeah.
And that corrected, for that particular study, that seemed to correct the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they, but it was the hypothyroidism that was indicative of the improper glucose utilization.
Right.
So that's what I had read there.
Okay.
What about these things that we come into contact with in our lives every day? And we're going to go into another break here, but I want to just touch on this because when we come out of the break, I want to talk in depth about things like fluorine, fluoridated water, chlorine, the things that we come in contact regularly and how they affect our thyroid.
Okay.
Do you feel that chlorine is an issue for thyroid function?
Well, you know, thyroid hormone is made up of iodine in part. You have to have enough iodine and
there it is. I was afraid this was
okay.
going to happen. I'm so sorry. I'm off timing today here. When we come back, I want you to answer the question about chlorine in our tap water naturally and its effect on thyroid function. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
Turinabol from PrimordialPerformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol. Managing insulin is key to building muscle and staying lean. Now from needtobuildmuscle.net, get the most effective insulin-mimicking, insulin-sensitizing, nutrient-partitioning supplement available without a prescription. Need2Slin. Need2Slin combines scientifically proven agents that shuttle glucose out of the bloodstream and into muscle, avoiding fat accumulation while simultaneously increasing insulin sensitivity on a cellular level. Need2Slin is so powerful that it should only be taken before a meal. You can get Need2Slin by visiting needtobuildmuscle.net. Don't risk another meal becoming fat and not muscle. Get Need2Slin today.
The federal government is more aggressive than ever prosecuting anabolic steroid-related cases. Whether you're a physician, supplement company, or citizen, ignorance of the law is not a defense. Buying from overseas pharmacies, large numbers of patients on hormone replacement therapy, and releasing new hormone-based supplements can all be red flags to the federal government. Don't take chances. You need attorneys that have years of experience defending anabolic steroid-related cases. You need J. Clark Baird and Bill Butler. Knowledge is power. Know where you stand before the federal government comes knocking. Go to SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. That's SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. Go today and be safer tomorrow.
Managing insulin is key to building muscle and staying lean. Now from NeedToBuildMuscle.net, get the most effective insulin-mimicking, insulin-sensitizing, nutrient-partitioning supplement available without a prescription. Need2Slin. Need2Slin combines scientifically proven agents that shuttle glucose out of the bloodstream and into muscle, avoiding fat accumulation while simultaneously increasing insulin sensitivity on a cellular level. Need2Slin is so powerful that it should only be taken before a meal. You can get Need2Slin by visiting NeedToBuildMuscle.net. Don't risk another meal becoming fat and not muscle. Get Need2Slin today. PJ Braun knows how to get in shape and stay in shape. He's appeared in numerous bodybuilding and fitness magazines, and now he's ready to help you. Whether you're a man or a woman, PJ Braun has the expertise to help you reach your goals faster and easier than ever before. Utilize his one-on-one distance training services, and your friends will want to know what your secret is, but we'll never tell. Services are affordable and customizable to suit your individual needs. Nutrition, training, and supplementation are all covered. Stop spinning your wheels and start building the body that you've always dreamed of. Go to pjbraun.com today. That's pjbraun.com.
A company committed to truth in advertising, to science-driven product development, a company that still believes in accountability to its customers. All American EFX is that company. With a full line of performance-enhancing aids like Crealkaline EFX Pro, muscle pump amplifiers like Nitric EFX, growth and recovery enhancers like LBA Pro and LG5 Pro, and a fully tested core nutrition series. So if you want the very best in bodybuilding and performance supplements, go to any GNC or visit AAEFX.com today. That's AAEFX.com. All American EFX. We don't play games. We just help you win them.
Jumping higher, left and more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking today with Dr. Alan Rubin about the thyroid. What can go wrong with it? What you can do about it? So, Dr. Rubin, we were talking about chlorine in our tap water, which obviously it's a halogen and it competes with iodine, and you were explaining that process there.
It's in the same part of the periodic table of the element, and it could compete with iodine, but fortunately, the tiny, tiny bit of chlorine that is in water doesn't seem to have an effect as far as I'm able to tell. I mean, my patients, I test them, and they seem to be okay despite the fact that there is chlorine in the water. So
okay.
It looks like it's okay. I might mention, you know, we were talking about the metabolic syndrome. I think your listeners might want to know a lot more about the metabolic syndrome, and they can go to another of my books called Diabetes for Dummies. And I have extensive information about the metabolic syndrome in that book.
It almost seems like the Diabetes for Dummies and the Thyroid for Dummies book really should be sold as a
they
combination
should be
sold
set together. I think
yeah, because
right.
I don't think you can really talk about one without the other, huh?
Yep, you're right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk about something else that's a big buzzword right now out there. Xenoestrogens. You know, we're getting them from plastics, and obviously estrogen plays a role in thyroid function, correct?
Well, estrogen has a definite role in thyroid function. Women who are taking estrogens, if you measure their total thyroid hormone, it's much, much greater. But fortunately, the free thyroid hormone, the active thyroid hormone, remains normal. What happens is estrogens tend to cause the production of a lot of thyroid-binding globulin,
mm-hmm.
thyroid-binding proteins. And the thyroid has to pump out a lot more thyroid in order to hold on to that protein, but then it still releases only the normal tiny amount of thyroid that's active. So it turns out that you end up with normal thyroid function. That could be a problem in people who depend on thyroid hormone by mouth if they take estrogens, because there you don't have the thyroid to make up, you know, all the extra thyroid that you need, and you'd end up having to take extra amounts of thyroid hormone. But again, all of this could be discovered by just checking thyroid
right.
blood levels, by checking the TSH that we talked about earlier. And you probably want to check it about every 4 to 6 weeks if things are changing in your body.
Is there any aromatase enzyme present in the thyroid?
Aromatase enzyme such as
Well, aromatase enzyme, which converts, aromatizes androgens to estrogens, for instance, you know, in men, it converts testosterone.
I'm not sure. Have you read anything about
No,
that?
I haven't, but I've read some other stuff, and I suspect that there might be, because it seems that, there's two things that are very popular in sports technology right now. Obviously, anabolic steroids or performance-enhancing drugs that way, and then aromatase inhibitors that, actually, there are several over-the-counter steroidal aromatase inhibitors that are available that men are taking to elevate their existing testosterone levels, because when you suppress estrogen in a man, his testes produce more because it converts over.
Uh-huh.
And there seems to be potential for dysfunction men who use excessive amounts of aromatase inhibitors. And I got to thinking, you know, maybe there is actually aromatase enzyme in the thyroid. And I know that estrogen enhances, as you said, the binding of thyroid hormone. I thought, well, maybe there's something going on at that level as well.
It's possible. I'm not aware of it. I don't know.
Have you read any studies or seen anything in the way of the use of either sex steroids such as testosterone or anabolic steroids and its effect on thyroid function?
Yeah, those hormones can certainly block the conversion of T4 to T3 and can result in decreased T3. You can have a decrease in free T4, and you can have a decrease in TSH. So these steroids can definitely affect thyroid function, and you want to be careful about that.
Yeah, it's common that when athletes stop, when they cease a cycle, you know, and they end the cycle, even with the proper post-cycle therapy to regain natural testosterone levels, there is a period there of severe hypothyroidism.
Right, and that does happen.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So that would make perfect sense as well.
Mm-hmm.
What are the things that people can actually do to help protect or keep their thyroid healthy? Are there any steps that they can take?
Well, fortunately, in the United States, we have sufficient quantities of iodine in one source or another. For example, there's iodine in bread, there's iodine in salt, there's a tiny bit of iodine in iodized salt. That's the key thing that we need to make sure that we get enough of. Around the rest of the world, it's a major problem. I mean, there are more than a billion people who don't have sufficient iodine in their diet and end up with hypothyroidism or something called cretinism, which is a very, very severe form of hypothyroidism. In the United States, fortunately, we're okay with iodine. And generally, you don't want to eat too much iodine, because actually too much iodine, if you eat large quantities of seaweed or something like that,
right,
that has enormous amounts of iodine, you can actually block thyroid function. You can block the production of thyroid hormone and cause hypothyroidism.
I actually did that to myself last year.
Did you?
Yeah, I was experimenting with something that goes around on the internet, you know, one of these alternative approaches to dealing with thyroid issues, painting, tincture of iodine onto your body, like a 1-inch patch, and they say, well, if your body absorbs it in 24 hours, you will low in iodine, which is, you know, totally nonsense. But
yeah,
I did it for about 5 days, and I could tell that I was becoming hypothyroid as a result of it.
Yeah, that can block thyroid hormone production.
Yeah, it's amazing. There's a very, very, it seems to be a very, intricate balance between iodine, copper, zinc,
mm-hmm,
and selenium, from what I can see, that
yes,
really allows the terrain of the body to not only, you know, because we're talking a lot about thyroid hormone here, but it also has to be said that thyroid hormone metabolism plays a large role in this as well, because you can have adequate amounts of thyroid hormone, but if it's not being metabolized or it's all bound up, as you said earlier, you still could present a hypothyroid symptom.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So there seems to be a very, very delicate balance of these enzyme cofactors, as well as things that promote the thyroid to function properly.
You definitely need all these things. Again, we're fortunate in this country that we do seem to have enough selenium in our diet. In places like China, they don't, and they can develop both diabetes as a result of lack of selenium and low thyroid function.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting. Have you found any of the vascular issues associated with hypothyroidism, for instance, like Raynaud's syndrome? Are those associated with the thyroid at all?
Well, again, I have not seen it in my patients.
Okay.
There may be cases where they are associated with low thyroid function, but I haven't seen it. So
because I recall a couple studies a couple years ago that indicated that the thyroid regulates the vascular response either by constricting or expanding peripheral blood vessels. Is that correct?
The thyroid can help, yeah.
Yeah,
definitely.
Okay. And I know that the thyroid also, there are people who suffer from both hyper and hypothyroidism who have an intolerance to physical stress, but for different reasons. In one case, because they just don't have the energy per se, and hyperthyroidism because of the irregular vascular response and the heart's inability to supply the blood fast enough. Because it's kind of like unrestricted blood flow, if you will.
It's,
you know,
the peripheral. Maxed out.
Yeah, exactly. But ironically, they both suffer from the same condition, but for different reasons. They just can't output the energy level.
Right.
And then I was reading about Raynaud's syndrome being an irregular vascular response of peripheral blood vessels, and I thought, I wonder if that's also associated.
Well, I haven't seen it in association with thyroid disease.
Okay, how about ocular issues with the thyroid? Hyperthyroidism, is that correct?
Oh, yes. Hyperthyroidism. Actually, you can see ocular issues in hypothyroidism, too, but not as often. There's a condition of hyperthyroidism called Graves' disease, which includes eye conditions, excessive thyroid production, and skin conditions. And what happens is in Graves' disease, sometimes, very rarely, it occurs in less than 5% of patients with Graves' disease. A lot of abnormal cells settle in the muscles of the orbit, the muscles of the eye,
mm-hmm.
and they start swelling those muscles. And when, you know, the orbit is a bony structure, and it only has so much room in there.
Right.
And when you start getting these muscles inside the orbit swelling up, they're going to push the eyeball forward out of the orbit, you know, not completely, but they're going to push it forward so that it looks like a person's eyes are popping.
Bulging, yeah.
Bulging.
Right.
It's called proptosis is the actual medical terminology for it, and it can severely affect vision if it gets bad.
I would imagine from your description that it could actually pressing against the back portion of the eye, it could lead to disconnecting the retina from the back of the eye.
Well, it can squeeze the optic nerve. Yeah, it won't disconnect the retina usually, but it definitely affects vision, and people have double vision. Their muscles are not working so that one eye is focused in one direction, another eye is focused in another direction, and they see two things instead of one, whereas normally the eye is perfect, both eyes are perfectly focused on the same spot, you know, so you can get double vision, and if it really gets severe, you can lose vision in one eye.
Now, you mentioned something earlier, excuse me, that I had forgotten about, but that is the skin issues related to the thyroid. There seems to be people with thyroid issues tend to have like patchy areas of the skin. I think it has something to do with hyaluronic acid production in the
right.
skin.
Right, you get a lot of that production in the under the skin, and the skin looks shiny. Generally, this doesn't cause a problem. You can usually treat it with steroids or something like that, and it doesn't cause any long-term damage. Certainly, it's not like the eye disease and Graves' disease.
Right. Right. And exercise, beneficial or not beneficial for
exercise is always beneficial. You know, if you want to have a healthy thyroid, you want to surround that healthy thyroid with a healthy body. So maintaining good eating habits, keeping your weight down to normal, exercising, all of those things is definitely going to be beneficial for a healthy thyroid gland. And certainly in my book, In Thyroid for Dummies, I spend a whole chapter on exercise, and I spend a chapter on eating properly, because these are essential things to make sure you have a healthy thyroid.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I guess you're right. It's kind of like the gestalt. You can't really deal with any specific illness if the body is out of balance in one way or another.
That's correct.
So yeah. you have to kind of address the total person when addressing
right.
these types
you're
of things.
You're much more than just your thyroid. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Although the do you feel that the thyroid is quite often a very misdiagnosed issue? Well, here we're going to go into another break. When we come back, I want to answer
we'll
that question.
About that.
I want to talk, and I also want to tell my listeners how they can get a copy of your book and what you're up to right now. So
okay,
stay with
sure.
us. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back. Turinabol from PrimordialPerformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there is no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
LG Science's pre-workout performance enhancer, Anadrolic State GT has grown exponentially in popularity in recent months. In July, Anadrolic State GT was named 2010 number one pre-workout product by BestRecovery.com, as well as nominated as best pre-workout product by Bodybuilding.com. We here at LG Sciences want to give back to you, which is why, for a limited time, we will be giving customers a free 330-gram bottle of BC plus EAA hydrolyzed peptides with each purchase of Anadrolic State GT from Bodybuilding.com. That's right. Order Anadrolic State GT at bodybuilding.com now and get your free BC plus EAA. Offer only available while supplies last.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
The federal government is more aggressive than ever prosecuting anabolic steroid-related cases. Whether you're a physician, supplement company, or citizen, ignorance of the law is not a defense. Buying from overseas pharmacies, large numbers of patients on hormone replacement therapy, and releasing new hormone-based supplements can all be red flags to the federal government. Don't take chances. You need attorneys that have years of experience defending anabolic steroid-related cases. You need J. Clark Baird and Bill Butler. Knowledge is power. Know where you stand before the federal government comes knocking. Go to steroiddefenselawyers.com. That's steroiddefenselawyers.com. Go today and be safer tomorrow.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Today's episode of Superhuman Radio has been brought to you by Fulstaxin, the only orally delivered myostatin inhibitor to reduce circulating myostatin by 37% in human test subjects. Go to Fulstaxin.com to learn more. Where were we, Dr. Rubin? I was going to have you tell my listeners how to get a copy of your book, first of all.
Yeah, well, you know, all of my books, and I've actually written 4 books at this point, and I'm in the middle of writing a 5th one. I had to take a break from writing it to talk to you this morning.
Oh, well, thank you.
My pleasure. It's been enjoyable just trying to tell your listeners about the thyroid gland, which is one of my favorite glands. Anyway, the four books that I've written are Thyroid for Dummies, which we're talking about, Diabetes for Dummies, Diabetes Cookbook for Dummies, and High Blood Pressure for Dummies. And right now I'm working on a fifth book, which will come out probably in September, and it's called Type 1 Diabetes for Dummies. All of these books, including the new one when it comes out, are easily available at bookstores. They're available on the Internet at Amazon.com and many, many other bookstores on the Internet. No problem getting the books at all. They're available. Actually, there are pocket versions that are available at some drugstores, short versions that you can pick up with your pills and learn a little bit about the condition and then maybe decide to read a lot more by getting the full book. And they're available in translations. There's going to be a Spanish version available in the United States, and it's been translated in. My books have been translated into 9 other languages, so there's plenty of availability of the books.
Yeah, and I love the For Dummies series of books in general because it doesn't matter what your level or aptitude of knowledge is about a particular subject. You pick up one of the books that are designed, you know, with the, you know, whatever it is for dummies, and you can either, if you have no knowledge at all, you start at the beginning of the book. If you have some knowledge, you thumb through till you get to where you don't know anymore, and you start reading from there. They're really a great approach to teaching somebody to understand a complete concept.
Yeah, there are now more than 100 million of those books that have been printed and purchased. So somebody's doing something right
yeah.
when it comes to these Dummies books.
Okay. The question I asked before we went into the break is, do you think that thyroid issues are misdiagnosed a lot?
I think they are, yeah, because as I mentioned earlier, the signs and symptoms of thyroid issues can be confused with so many other things. They're not specific. It's not like having pneumonia and you cough and your chest hurts, you know, and then you know there's probably pneumonia. With thyroid disease, they can mimic all kinds of other conditions or nothing.
I know someone who was misdiagnosed with Parkinson's disease that actually had a thyroid issue.
Really?
Because she had a facial expression that, you know, PD is one of those things where it's diagnosed via symptoms.
Right.
And so, you know, she had tremor. Mm-hmm. She was weak in the legs, which changed her gait as a result. She had this facial expression of, you know, of sadness, if you will.
Yeah.
And she went to one of the top clinics in the United States. They said, you know, you've got PD. And then she went to an age management doctor who ran a battery of tests on her and, you know, put her on a variety of different hormones, one being she was very, very low in thyroid. And they gave her, as you said, you know, a T4 replacement. And today she's back to normal. I mean, she's exactly as she was before. Yeah,
and
she
doesn't. Ending.
Yeah, and I also read an interesting study a couple of weeks ago about a man who was taken to a clinic who had something called drop head syndrome, where you just can't lift your head, your neck is so weak.
Uh-huh.
And they linked it to hypothyroidism. As soon as they, what's the terminology? Euthyroid, normal thyroid.
Euthyroid.
Right. Once he was given thyroid medication and reached euthyroid, his neck worked again.
Yeah, there are some unexpected
tinnitus. I've read some studies that indicate that tinnitus, which plagues a lot of people in the United States, ringing of the ears, could be linked to thyroid issues. And interestingly enough, I read a study just recently that was done on doctors on call and anesthesiologists on call who have sleep interrupted patterns, and what they found out was the most profound effect of not getting good sleep every night is that it lowers TSH production and subsequently makes you, you know, temporarily hypothyroid.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's really an amazing gland, and it's affected by so many things, and it affects so many things that I really think it's very, very worthwhile for anybody out there who's either if you're an athlete, if you exercise a lot, if you're interested in your overall well-being and health, a book like Thyroid for Dummies is a perfect book for you to have, because you need to understand how your thyroid functions and what it does for you, so that you can understand the symptoms that you develop and what you can do to correct them.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah, I personally think the thyroid is a very underestimated gland.
Yeah, most people never have heard of it or know nothing about it, and I get so many emails from people thanking me for finally opening their eyes to what this thing is all about and what it does and how it works and what they have to do to take care of it.
Now, you're in San Francisco, but obviously you have patients all over the country, correct?
I do, yeah.
How do patients reach? Someone wants to contact you. They've gone around and around with their doctor, and they suspect that they have a thyroid issue, and they want to reach out to you. How do they get
well, you? You know, I have an email address. It's drrubin@drrubin.com, D-R-R-U-B-I-N @drrubin.com. But I should tell your patients, as I do anybody who writes to me, I can't diagnose complicated thyroid problems by email.
No.
If somebody wants to know what's going on with them, they have to come and see me because, you know, there's no way that you can find out the things that you want to find out just by writing back and forth.
Right, of course.
You've got to examine the person. You've got to have the person there in front of you. So, you know, it's really not ethical to try to diagnose disease over the internet or something like that. And I never will do it. I'll answer general questions.
Sure.
About the thyroid.
Sure. The same kind of questions that they could get in your book as well, I would imagine.
They're all answered in the book.
Right.
Yeah, you can get the answer to just about any thyroid question you may have in my book, Thyroid for Dummies.
Right. And then obviously, with the preponderance of thyroid issues, I probably could start a junket business because, you know, San Francisco is a beautiful place to visit anyway.
Yeah, right.
So we can get a bed and breakfast involved. I can
fly
people out there. They can see, you know.
Of course.
What's the name of that crooked street that everybody drives down?
Lombard Street.
There you go. You know
Lombard
what? Once they're healthy and their thyroid is working normal, we'll have them run up Lombard Street. Just to show
like
that they can.
Good idea.
Yeah, you know, like the Rocky movie at the top of the hill, they turn around, they do the dance.
We have plenty of hills in San Francisco.
Yeah,
so,
I know.
No shortage.
So, what is the most astounding thing you've seen attributed to a thyroid dysfunction in your practice?
The most astounding thing that I've seen attributed to thyroid dysfunction?
Yeah, a case that came in and it was like it baffled you and then you realized it was thyroid related.
You know, I've never been baffled because I order the appropriate tests and I get the right answers. So that kind of thing hasn't arisen.
Gotcha.
I remember, I should say, that when I was very early in my medical practice, and I've been practicing now for 33 years, very early in my medical practice, I saw a patient in the hospital and she was an older woman, and I thought that her signs and symptoms were due to menopause. And to my surprise, I ordered the test anyway. To my surprise, she came back with low thyroid function. And, you know, I missed that diagnosis. So I'm just as capable of doing it as everybody else, but I'm smart enough to order the test.
There you go. And that comes back to full circle what we said at the beginning of the show. It's important for people to be tested for thyroid function, and it's important for you to be tested early before you develop symptoms so that you have something to look at.
Right.
Dr. Rubin, thank you very, very much for being
on
the show today.
It's been a pleasure.
And you've been listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be back with another topic next week.